This is AT Man, and it's the bi-weekly astrology report for WGXZ FM 90.7.
Good afternoon. It's Friday, November 11th. In fact, as I'm sure most of you know, today is 11-11-11. It's the next to last such date that's going to happen this entire century. And I know that there are worldwide meditations. There are many people thinking about the state of the world. And this is all actually very appropriate, given that one of the more recent astrological major events is that 2 days ago on Wednesday, Neptune, which had been going backwards, retrograde, for 5 months, started going forward again. It's in the very last few degrees of Aquarius. This implies a lot of very interesting things, one of which is that while it's been in Aquarius, there's been an extraordinary idealism about the way things work, about the state of the world, and so on. Neptune is in each sign for 15 years, and within the next month or two, it's going to be moving into the sign Pisces for the last time, which is where it will be for the next 15 years. Pisces is very karmic and very much about the influences that accrue and that often, you know, whose implications remain hidden or unknown or invisible. And when Neptune enters Pisces, we see a lot of things become available, a lot of information. WikiLeaks is actually a very good example of this because WikiLeaks blew the cover on state secrets that companies and countries hold that have a bearing on us all. So Neptune going direct is actually very interesting because it implies that in the near future, even today, and in the coming days in particular, that there's going to likely be an increase in dreams and that we gradually develop that kind of internal strength necessary to take us into the future. And again, also a lot of the significance of this, of Neptune going direct, is to acknowledge that we are being fed from inside through Neptune, through our spirituality, through our deepest beliefs, which may have been in flux, and may have even been in conflict in recent months or even in recent years, and that it's time now to bring these into reality in some more tangible way. Of course, this is also accompanied yesterday by Chiron going direct, and Chiron is within a couple of degrees of Neptune. Neptune's at 28 degrees Aquarius. Chiron is the wounded healer, as he's called, and Chiron also moves forward as of yesterday. It's a very subtle influence. It's only recently discovered asteroid, but a lot of astrologers use it because we carry wounds throughout our entire lives, and this asteroid Chiron in your horoscope symbolizes how you experience and express your own vulnerability, and particularly it's about exteriorizing vulnerabilities. It isn't about being a victim, but rather it's about expressing one's compassion, being open to what comes, helping others deal with what comes up. So when Neptune and Chiron are conjunct like this, and they've been together for months and months and months, virtually the last year, we see that it's a time of really beginning to work on compassion, which of course is one of the major Buddhist principles for one thing, but also essentially a primary Christian principle as well. And on top of that, there was a full moon in Taurus, which you might have seen last night because it was quite striking. And this full moon in Taurus means that the moon is in Taurus, the sun is in the opposite sign, Scorpio. So this brings a kind of deeper, more perceptive, sharper way of really looking at what's going off around one. You know, because they're both in fixed signs, I've explained this before, that when the sun is in a fixed sign like Scorpio, which it has been in from the 21st of October to the 22nd of this month, when it goes into Sagittarius, that all of the quarter moons, the new moon, the first quarter, the full moon, and the third quarter, are all in fixed signs. So during such periods of time, there's a great focus on what's believed, what's written in stone. There can be people behaving very stubbornly. In government, for example, people are unlikely to back down because of, even though their beliefs seem to be a no-brainer or seem to be irrelevant. So it's really about studying that, seeing it, recognizing how deeply embedded and entrenched such things are. This, of course, is also the case particularly with Scorpio Taurus, because Taurus is one's own possessions, our money, our physical resources. And Scorpio is other people's money, other people's resources. I, again, have connected this very much with the 99% 1% and the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy seemingly every other place that's coming up. So it's very, very interesting here because, you know, we see that the other is what owns most of our resources, and we ourselves actually don't really have access to them. So there's a great revolutionary energy contained in Scorpio because it's ruled by Pluto. And of course, it almost goes without saying that this full moon is going to be felt most strongly by people who have planets, the sun or the ascendant or the moon, particularly in either Taurus or Scorpio, but it'll be felt by the other two fixed signs, Leo and Aquarius, as well. Also yesterday, Mars went into the sign Virgo. Mars isn't in each sign for such a terrifically long time, something in the region of 2 months. And yet when it does move from sign to sign, it's very, very significant. And going into Virgo, it is curious because it really does force us to work to really ground our energies. And this is true for the next couple of months because Virgo's an earth sign. It's about making very realistic choices and taking care of our business, as it were. And it's all about applying that kind of Mars energy. Mars is willing to change. It's willing to shift. It doesn't stand on the principle of non-change, but rather it symbolizes change, but on a kind of organic level. And, you know, and when such influences happen, like Mars in a sign Virgo, that's about competence and professionalism and perfectionism, that the whole idea of being precise and being direct and being clear really becomes a kind of primary help in such a time. So do bear that in mind, because it does mean, of course, that we can be a little more, a little clearer about getting the right kinds of issues handled and developing the skills we need to go where we need to go. Today being 11-11-11 is actually very interesting. You know, you probably don't know this, but in my early years of publishing in the early 70s when I lived in London, with a group of friends, we produced an astrological calendar every year from the early 70s through to 1981. It was called the Phenomenon Book of Calendars, and essentially we compared a lot of calendar systems but also wrote short articles about how the calendar is structured. And 11-11-11 brings up a very interesting issue, which is that it used to be in earlier times that the earliest calendars were synced into the astronomical/astrological year, and that, you know, when the planets changed signs around the 21st of each month would have been the beginning of the months. And yet, so the idea of 11-11-11 is it's a very, very interesting geometry, obviously. And I mean, anything that leads to a kind of mass collective meditation is a very, very good thing, to just bring that to people's attention. But it isn't really a cosmic event in that sense, apart from the fact that it correlates to Chiron, about a healing principle, about Neptune going direct in Aquarius, a very highly idealistic principle. And these things are going on, you know, in coordination with the political shift of 99%, 1%. We also have this kind of abiding sense of idealism that many, many of us are subject to. I noticed that quite a lot, having lived out of the U.S. for 30 years. It's curious coming back here and seeing how idealistic people are about what the U.S. does, what it stands for, what it means. And so this is a very good time for us to kind of look at these issues and to maybe change our views, or maybe let go of particular views of things that could be proven to be obsolete. On Sunday, the end of this weekend, the sun will still be in the sign Scorpio and goes semi-square to Pluto in Capricorn. And this often represents changes in our own personal stance, because the sun is who you are. It's your identity. It's often a masculine part of our nature somehow, in the same way that the moon is the feeling part of our nature and more feminine. But sun semi-square Pluto often represents changes begin to happen. You know, it's initiating change moves to the next level. It may well be that some of these sit-ins and demonstrations that are happening, the Occupy movement, is going to find a kind of almost like a violent event that happens that really does stir people. Many people I know have been kind of speculating something like this could easily come about, and it's not like something one wants to see happen, but it could easily happen for sure. I think the patience of people like Mayor Bloomberg in New York, and maybe lots of others in the establishment who are certainly almost exclusively in that 1%, are going to be very reluctant and resistant to acknowledge the demands. But certainly it's something that seems like it needs to happen. Next Wednesday, which is the 16th of November, Mars is, of course, still in the sign Virgo, or in the beginning of the sign Virgo, and makes a trine to Jupiter, which is in early Taurus. But Jupiter right now is retrograde, and it continues to go retrograde. And if again, following, I'm just trying to introduce you to the logic of the way astrology works, that if Jupiter, which is expansion, is in Taurus, which is about finances, and it's going backwards, it essentially means we're still being affected by some event that happened in the past. And I think that's very much the case right now. It's also the actions moving towards a conclusion are quite retrograde. They're not really very constructive. But rather, it's as though we're moving backwards and not moving closer to solutions, but actually being entrenched around issues that are related to the problem itself. You know, it's something that seems really evident. I mean, I've, you know, things like this about Obama's administration and using Timothy Geithner and other ex-Goldman Sachs people in government. It's really very, very powerful, simply because they were the ones that created the problem, and they're not really clearing it up. So something really needs to happen, and I have a suspicion next Wednesday could indicate either an initiative or information that really does begin to move things to the next stage. It brings a new awareness to people. It opens it up to a bit more sensible debate. And this is also true in our relationships, because Mars-Jupiter in general as a trine is a very constructive, creative, positive kind of influence. It's wanting to make change, which is Mars, particularly related to Jupiter being in coordination with your worldview, your philosophy of life, your religious beliefs, and so on. So this is definitely a theme these days, I think, which is emerging. This idea of change is happening. It hasn't become fully blown. It's not like a revolutionary time, but it's certainly in the air, and lots of things are happening that are kind of pointing in this direction. On the 20th of November, which is a week from Sunday, we see that the Sun in Sagittarius now is beginning to square Neptune. And the Sun in Sagittarius changes on Tuesday, which is the 22nd, but the Sun in the very end of Scorpio on the 20th of November, squaring Neptune in the very end of Aquarius, is quite intriguing. It's like a last gasp of that Aquarian idealism. And we can easily see things beginning to really shift and change. And I know it's a time, you know, it's Thanksgiving week when a lot of people travel, a lot of people are communicating to people they don't see normally. It's a very, very, it's a time when a lot of people exchange ideas and things of this sort. So when Sun goes Neptune also, it indicates like a momentary idealistic lapse in a funny way. It's a time when we become maybe more aware of our health and more aware of our diet and begin to realize that, you know, maybe we need to make significant changes in that respect. And maybe Thanksgiving is an appropriate time to really address issues like this. It's very much, you know, Sun square Neptune can be very Thanksgiving in that way. On the 22nd, which is a week from Tuesday, the Sun enters the sign Sagittarius after its month in Scorpio. And Sagittarius is about distant influences. And, you know, we can feel this, in fact, because as we see in the paper every day or see online, that the financial situation in this country is not unique to us, but rather we're, in a way, these markets are very much dependent upon what goes on in Russia, what goes on in China, what's happening within the European community. So Sagittarius indicates a time when that glance, that vision is looking outside of here. It's looking away. It's looking at others, at Europe. It's often an uplifting and quite positive time because it is a fire sign and it ruled by Jupiter, which is expansion and optimism and positivity. And Sagittarius is always known for very noble aspirations. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that Sagittarian energies or Sagittarian people are really capable of carrying out such innovations. But certainly there's a great will to do this and a great, probably a great opportunity and optimism to be able to move ahead and to begin to deal with some of the pressing issues that affect us, you know, which are very concrete. They're not imaginary. They're not only in our minds. They're very, very concrete ideals. I think we're all becoming acutely aware of this. Just a little break. This is WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial, local radio in Hudson, New York, in Columbia County, Greene County. And this is the astrology program with A.T. Mann. So, Sun in Sagittarius also is about making judgments. It's about law and about legal issues. And it tends to be very absolutish, although the idea here is that it's about belief. And when belief and law become involved, can be a little bit dangerous. It's like it can lead to the kind of self-righteousness we often see of people who are fundamentalists of the various religions. We see a greater kind of rigidity rather than openness and compassion. However, when we keep our mind open, when we want to innovate, we have to be free to really look and see, maybe in unusual corners and odd situations, to see models that will take us ahead in the next direction and allow us to begin really changing the world. So this is actually an interesting time from the end of this month until the end of December, really just leading up to Christmas time. It is a time when ideals become explored. They really take on a different level altogether. They represent a new future. And there's a very, very interesting interview that I'll actually put on my website, atmann.net, which you might want to look at. It's a Charlie Rose interview in New York on NPR. And it was very, very interesting and very Sagittarian, very Aquarian in the sense that the people he was talking to were really talking about what the Occupy Wall Street movement is about. And it was fascinating because to me it was a very accurate mirror of our time. They were saying one of the main issues, unlike the 1960s, when there were iconic individuals who were responsible for creating change, or at least they were symbols of that change, like Martin Luther King and maybe Bobby Kennedy, or maybe the heads of SDS and Huey Newton and the Black Panthers. You know, there was like a cast of characters that were all powerful individuals whose identification with the issues became so complete that they were almost seen as the issues themselves. And an interesting issue around this Occupy Wall Street, which is very, to me, very Aquarian and Piscean, which is not about individuals. Leo, you know, Pluto was in Leo for that generation, my generation born in the 40s and 50s, who were really the people involved in the changes in the 60s. And Pluto and Leo is very much about individuality and very much about strong people, strong individuals with strong views being iconic. Well, you know, at this point, everything is much more Aquarian. And they're saying one of the striking things about the Occupy movement, that there are no leaders. It's all a kind of collective decision. I have a feeling that's a little bit like WGXC in some ways, that it's like decisions get made and there are people who are nominally in control, but apparently some of the plainclothes police and FBI people wandering around the Occupy Wall Street area in New York, the thing that gives them away or gives their identity away is they're continually asking, well, who's running things? Who's in control here? You know, who can we talk to? Who can really tell us what's going on and who's making the decisions? And when that's the case, it really becomes a much more populist kind of movement, which is, I think, something very interesting, very positive. Maybe it's a sign of the times. It's certainly a quality that, you know, is unusual because we're used to having iconic people in office. I mean, you look at the Republican Party, you wonder who's running that. You know, it's like a group of chickens with their heads cut off. And I think that that kind of movement right now is something very appropriate. It's more collective and collaborative. Of course, Thanksgiving this year is going to be very curious to me. You may not agree with my choice of words, but the reason I say curious is because Mercury goes retrograde on a week from Thursday, which is the 24th. You know, normally Mercury sprints through the signs. It goes through each sign in around a month and, you know, makes a full circle every year, very much like the sun does. In fact, it's always near the sun. I've mentioned this before, but Mercury, which is how we think, is very much tied to our identity, which is the sun. So Mercury is never more than one sign on either side. So when the sun is in Sagittarius, Mercury's got to be in either Capricorn or, I mean, excuse me, Scorpio, Sagittarius, or Capricorn. So here we go. It's Mercury's in Sagittarius. It communicates loudly its opinions. And it indicates also that the retrograde cycle means that it stays within that Sagittarian domain, Sagittarius being notorious for being not exactly subtle and not exactly diplomatic, but rather expressing very, very strong views and not really being worried about the details. So what we might see in our political life, and this may include your Thanksgiving dinner, is really in many ways a time when people just blurt out their feelings, their thoughts, their ideas, their attitudes, and don't really care because they're around friends and they just assume everyone's going to take it on, accept it, and so on. But we may well see in public life in the following period of time, because it will be retrograde until December 13th. So that's a period of about 3 weeks, which is its usual retrograde cycle. We may find a lot of people saying things in public life that they don't really mean and recanting very, very quickly. It often indicates this idea of everything that's said, agreements that are made become terribly complicated and complex. And as a result, it's a very good idea to be really careful what you're saying, what you're communicating, what the real essence of that communication is. And also, you know, whenever you make really strident or strong comments, just really be aware that you're sure you want to say that. I mean, I always think of politicians being in a situation where they often make statements that they end up recanting or not really wanting to deal with after the fact. And so check the details, you know, really, particularly there was an article in the New York Times the other day, interestingly, about this coming Mercury retrograde cycle and the effect it has on travel. In fact, there was a woman travel agent in New Jersey whose business is really built on looking at her clients' travel plans based on where Mercury is, because when Mercury goes retrograde, planes are delayed. You know, you forget your passport at home. You get to the airport and discover that it's the wrong day. And so there are all kinds of really crazy mix-ups. This is just characteristic of the time. One last thing is that also following, you know, 2 weeks from today on November 25th, there's a Scorpio new moon. And I mean, excuse me, a Sagittarius new moon. And this is really a new moon, which is very powerful, very strong. It really hits to the core of things with us. It's going deep. And that's probably the key word for this next period of time. Well, I'm about to sign off. This is A.T. Mann, and if you're interested in taking a look at my website, do go to atmann.net. You can put three W's in front of it or not. And indeed, if you've got any questions for me, you know, we have a phone-in number, which is 518-828-0290. You can call us during my time here, which is every other Friday. I'll be coming back on Friday, November 25th from 3 to 3:30. And I just wanted to wish you a good Thanksgiving and watch your tongue. Thank you and goodbye.
So this is A.T. Mann signing off. Just so that you remember, these little astrology sessions are going to be at 3 o'clock on the 2nd and the 4th Fridays of each month. So make sure to tune in next time.